Today on the Pastor's Study, we want to continue our discussion on the Great Tribulation. Period of the God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth. And we started to talk about the 144,000, and we looked at different, we identified them and so forth and so on. And now we're going to look how they have a special message. We want to look at the message of the 144,000 and compare it to the gospel of today, the great gospel, the grace of God, and compare the two and see the differences clearly. That's what I want to try to accomplish today on the Pastor's Study. But before we do, as always, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, I thank you for this great opportunity that you present me to open up thy word, to teach thy word, to preach thy word, Father. We thank you that we have your very inspired words, inerrant words, infallible words, indestructible words, as preserved by you in this good old King James Bible. We pray you'd bless the lesson today. We pray as your word goes out that you'd use it for your honor and glory. Again, we pray for the saint of God to be lifted up, encouraged, edified by your words, Lord. And we pray again for the lost soul that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they would repent of their sins, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, trusting in only his shed blood and nothing else to save them, to pay for their sins and to save them from going to a sinner's hell and to go to heaven when they die. I pray this would be the very day of their salvation. And Father, we just commit this time into thy hands, and we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now let's look at the message, first of all, that the 144,000 are going to preach. Now look in Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew 24, verse 14, we read, "In this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God. So we see clearly that the gospel preached by the 144,000 is different. Their message is different than the gospel of the grace of God today. Amen? Very clear. Now, the thing to remember, Matthew chapter 24 is a tribulation chapter. That's what the context of Matthew 24 is. That's what Matthew 24 has to do with the tribulation. Now, this verse that we just read teaches that the gospel of the kingdom will have to be preached in all the world, and then and only then the end will come. We are today preaching the gospel of grace. Amen? The gospel of grace. Now, where do we find the gospel of grace? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verses 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. We read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." This is Paul speaking, or writing. "Unto you the gospel." Notice, not the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel, "which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." This is the gospel that people are saved by during the church age or the age of grace. He's saying this is the gospel that you at Corinth are saved by. by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And he goes on, he gives us the elements of that gospel that people are saved by in the church age. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, here it is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Very important. So we have Christ died for our sins, number one, and that he was buried, number two, and that he arose again the third day, number three, according to the scriptures. So the gospel that we preach today is the gospel of the grace of God, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We saw that we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen. Now, this message, the gospel of the grace of God, will end at the rapture of the church. And then we see the new message will be the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. And of course, the gospel of the kingdom, meaning the kingdom of heaven. And if you go to Matthew chapters 5, amen, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount, which is really the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is the literal, physical reign of Christ on this earth for 1,000 years, which is also the millennium, which we will discuss later on in our studies on things to come. Now, so the new message will be the gospel of the kingdom, and you will have to endure until the end to get into the kingdom that Jesus is coming to set up. The 144,000 servants of God will take this message to the whole world before the end. You see, you and I are not waiting for the gospel to be preached in all the world before the rapture. This will happen during the tribulation by the 144,000. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 24 a little bit closer. And we want to talk about salvation during the tribulation, regardless of what others say. We don't care what others say. We want to base our beliefs on what the scripture saith, and that alone. That's our final authority, this King James Bible. So, first of all, as I said earlier, Matthew chapter 24 has to do with the tribulation, not to do with the church age, amen, which we are in now. We looked at Matthew 24. Let's go back there. Matthew 24. And look at some things in there. Now, Matthew 24, I read verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. This verse shows that works are involved for salvation during the tribulation. During the tribulation, elements of faith and works are involved for salvation. Now this verse here that I just read, Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. This verse is used by the cults today to prove that a born-again, blood-bought, New Testament Christian will die and go to hell if he does not hold out faithful to Christ till the end of his life. And of course, that's not true. Verse 24 of Matthew 14. In this gospel of the kingdom of heaven shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come, and then shall the end come. So we see no one's life is being discussed here in verse 14. It is the end of a period of time that's being discussed, not an individual's life. Further, there are no Christians present here, but Jewish disciples. Look at in verse 3 of Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, Christ, referring to Christ, the disciples, the Jewish disciples, in other words, came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So we see there are no Christians present, and the land being discussed is Palestine. Look at in verse 16 of Matthew 24. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. We see also that the audience being addressed are Jews. Look at in again Matthew 24, verses 1, 2, and 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Further, we see here in Matthew 24, they are observing the Old Testament law then. Looking in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand it. So we see during the tribulation, we see them observing the Old Testament law again. We see the temple built and the Sabbath being observed during the tribulation. Matthew 24, verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then we also see, during the tribulation, they are worshiping in a temple in Jerusalem. Matthew 24, 15, we just read. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Amen. That's the temple. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians for a moment. 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Description of the Antichrist, sitting in the temple in Jerusalem. Amen. And what we want to see is, they are not spiritual Jews. No one, amen, but a heretic would distort the context to get that meaning, amen. You see, the Christian already has a promise that he will endure to the end if that is what is under discussion, and it's not. It has nothing to do. Look at in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 7 and 8. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? The Christian already has a promise that he will endure to the end. But that's, we're not discussing Christians here, amen. Christians are not on this earth during the tribulation, amen. The second coming of Christ follows the end that we've seen in this passage in Matthew 24, and not the death of the believer. Matthew 24 again. Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, look first at verse 14. We read, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." Look at verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." Verse 27. "For as lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." After the end. See? The second coming follows the end. Verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken." So, again, Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved," has nothing to do directly or indirectly with the salvation of anyone in the age of grace. It was never intended to be used by anyone under any condition for any purpose in that matter. Again, Matthew 24 defines the end of Matthew 24:13. "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Matthew 24, amen, defines the end. "In this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The end of the tribulation, amen. And then the second coming of Christ. Verse 14 of Matthew 24 locates the end of verse 13 as the end of that period of time wherein the gospel of the kingdom is preached. Since this gospel is not the gospel of the grace of God given to Christians by the apostle of the Gentiles, who is Paul the apostle. Paul calls it my gospel in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. It most certainly would have no bearing on the life of any Christian who lived from Pentecost to the rapture. Therefore, "He that shall endure until the end" is plainly a reference to a law-abiding Jew in Palestine immediately preceding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 24, verse 15, shows an element of works connected with salvation, because we read, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." So we see then temple worship will be established in the tribulation for the Jew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 20, that we read, shows Sabbath observance established in the tribulation. So this shows an element of works to be saved in the tribulation. Looking in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verse Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 12. We read, "Here is the patience of the saints, that they are to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." So the Jews have to keep the commandments and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and not take the mark of the beast. Now, the commandments to be kept, we just saw here in verse 12 of Revelation 14, and then if you turn to Revelation 12, verse 17, we read, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art," wrong verse, I'm in chapter 11, I should be in chapter 12 of Revelation. Revelation 12, verse 17, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth," here it is, "the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." The commandments to be kept here during the tribulation are not the new commandments of 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, or 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and John chapter 13, verse 34, for they are the commandments of God, are the Ten Commandments. If in the tribulation, if any man takes the mark of the beast, or the number of his name, he goes into the lake of fire. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So, suppose a person believes on Christ, like the Philippian jailer, and then takes the mark of the beast. Supposes he confesses Christ with his mouth, like the Ethiopian eunuch, and gets baptized, and then takes the mark. Does he go to heaven at death? Not in the tribulation, he doesn't. He loses his salvation. He didn't endure to the end like the person in Matthew 25:30. We see in Matthew 25:30, the servant was cast into outer darkness. You see, the unprofitable servant lost his salvation. So in Matthew chapter 25, let's turn there, verse 30. It's talking about the tribulation. Matthew 25, verse 30 with me. We read, Matthew 25, 30. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." For the contrast to this, we need to see Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27, which is talking about the age of grace. We see someone lose their rewards, but not salvation. And they weren't cast in outer darkness like in Matthew 25. Luke chapter 19 with me. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable before he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's what you and I are to be, servants of God, and we're to do business with God, work for God after we get saved till he comes back for us. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second one came, saying, Lord, thou pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. See, this servant didn't occupy till the Lord came back. For I have feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping not that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. He said, you could have taken what I've given you, put it in the bank, and it would have gained interest, and I could have had the interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And again, we see that this servant here lost his reward, but not his salvation, unlike the servant that was cast into outer darkness in Matthew 25. So clearly what we need to see here, again, is the difference in the message that the 144,000 will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, as opposed to the gospel of the grace of God, which is preached today, which was given to the apostle, to the Gentiles, Paul the apostle, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the grace. We're saved by grace through faith. So one must believe that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to save them. My dear friend, as we come to a close to the pastor's study, if you've never believed that Christ died, he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, if you've never believed on him in your heart, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, trusting in only his shed blood for the payment of your sins and to keep you out of a sinner's hell and take you to heaven when you die, then if you've never trusted in Christ, then you're on your way to hell. Won't you believe on him today? Trust in only his shed blood to save you and be saved today. Well, my friends, the time has run out on the pastor's study. Till we meet again, this is Brother Gino saying, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.